All right, great. Really good to be with you tonight. We're going to continue on in our Greek class. I have no idea what's the date today. 4/6. April 6th. April 6th, 2015. Incredibly, we live in the year 2015. But I believe that the Lord wants us to be here, all of us. That know the mystery. He wants us to be here at this particular time. I'm totally convinced of that. And he called us out before the kata bale of the world, however you want to interpret that Greek form, and to be here right now. And that's a matter of fact, to know what we know, to be born when we were, and to carry on in the ministry of his tremendous truth. The meat of the word, that's what we know. And whatever we might suffer for that, so be it. But the fact of the matter is true, is that we do know the meat of the word. And I'm extremely thankful for that, personally speaking anyway. I do know, and I can guarantee that as we venture into the Koine, I can guarantee, you could say, well, what good is your guarantee, Dr. Mike? Well, that's okay, but I can guarantee that the more you learn about the Koine and the more you search in the New Testament scriptures through this avenue, you're going to be thoroughly more blessed than if you don't. Not saying you can't know your calling without the Koine. I believe I learned my calling through the King James Version, no doubt about it. But I do know that endeavoring into the Koine and its various forms, knowing that the Holy Spirit used this language to put forth the living Word of God of the New Testament, that endeavoring in this language is a good thing. And I guarantee that you'll be blessed by it. So I have no idea what lesson number this is. We're just carrying on. I'm going to do this as long as I can talk in this life, and we've got a great text, and so we're going to just continue on. A word of prayer, our dear Heavenly Father, we all gather here tonight with humble and with serious hearts, wanting to know your original Koine Greek of your fabulous New Testament scriptures that you preserved for so many hundreds of years for us. What a blessing that is. And we do know that we have the completed Word of God. And at this point, certainly, we can understand that we are without excuse, that we have more ability to understand your completed Word than possibly ever before in human history. It's complete. We have many avenues to study the Koine. We have the completed scriptures in various languages, including our own English, and we have God the Holy Spirit to guide us. And so, at this time, we realize that as you've dealt with Israel, I believe that you gave them every possible way that they could know about you. You didn't give up on them or set them aside until a future date, until they really just totally spent all your ways that you tried to communicate with them. And we believe that, in a sense, we're like them too, that if at this time we don't make use of the great things that are provided for us, at least at this time, that we are without excuse. I believe that personally. And so we thank you for that. And we pray for your blessing tonight on endeavoring into your original language of your New Testament scriptures. In the name of our Lord and Head and our Savior, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. And so now we are going to, we'll open up with reading the, going back in the text. We're going to be looking at Oh, I'm really sorry about that, Ron. I guess Roger Dillman's mom died tonight? Wow, that's really something. I'm kind of taken back at that, because I didn't think that she was in such a state. I knew that she might have had some hip problems. Oh, that's, yeah, we got to pray for Roger and Carol about that one for sure. Thanks a lot, Ron, for letting us know that. That's a sad thing, but, you know, we're all going to be there, so... We're all going to be there, so we better walk worthy and give an account. Oh, 97. Okay, well, that's not bad. We got to give an account of how we walked according to the truth. So, well, let's in our text of Dr. Black's Learn to Read New Testament Greek. Let's turn to the alphabet on pages 2 and 3. We'll run over this. Pronounce this. We might do this pretty much every time. Because it's really important to understand how to use the Koine Greek alphabet. And, tonight also we're going to be looking into our interlinear, so you might want to get that out, really. You might want to have that, or you should have that. All right, the Koine Greek alphabet. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, z, omicron, p, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, C, Omega. That is how I feel the correct pronunciation of the Koine Greek alphabet is. Somebody might disagree with that in maybe a few letters, but, well, you know, that's all well and good. All right, now let's turn in the text. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to look into your interlinear. Now, I hope that everybody has the interlinear by J.P. Green Sr. Do you? Do you all have the interlinear by J.P. Green? You're going to have to answer me. Jan says yes. Yep. From Tony. Anybody else? Because we're going to be working out of it tonight, so... Can you let me know? Don't think so. Not that specific one. And Dr. Lowe, what do you say? All right, well, not with me. Packed away. Okay, well, do you have any interlinear? Do you guys have... All right, good. At least you have some interlinear, because what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at the different person number variations of I have in the interlinear. I'm going to go through, maybe at least 20 scriptures where you find the Greek form I have, and you find it in its various person number, different person number experiences, or inflections. You know, you have I have, you have, he has, we have, you all have, and they have. And so I just wanted to point out to you in the scriptures where those are. And so this is what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to make this an hands-on study. That's what I told you before. And so it might take us a long time to get through a particular lesson, or a major lesson. Like right now we're into lesson number two in the Dr. Black's text. Well, we might sit here for a little while, just so that these fundamental things are very important to get down. You know, you can't go on to lesson number 10 unless you have, you know, the first few lessons down really well. So I figured I'd spend some time in it. So turn to page 12 in your Dr. Black's text. Okay? Dr. Black's text. And you'll find that, go to the top of the page, you'll read, it says, notice that both in French and German, the personal pronouns I. Well, I don't particularly care about what the French and German says. All right, so I figure that we should forget about unless it helps you personally. I'm not concerned about comparing the French and the German and the Greek and the English in this class. I'm concerned about getting the Koine Greek down in its purest form. So you go a line down from that, and it says, Greek, however, is more like Spanish. Okay, well, I don't care about that. In that a different form of the verb is used to indicate both person and number. I care about that. This is accomplished by a fixing of person, number, suffixes. Okay, this is important to learn. To the verb root, to the stem. This root is called the lexical morpheme, all right? So you have roots in the Koine, and then you have suffixes, as far as verbs are concerned, attached to them. And a suffix is an ending, all right? So you have a verb root, or what this author calls a stem, and then you have a suffix added to that. That's how Greek verbs work, okay? And that's what we're going to begin to learn. All right, and we notice that this root or stem is called the lexical morpheme since it conveys the lexical or the dictionary meaning of the form, the meaning found in the dictionary or in the lexicon. Thus, the Greek form for I have, echo, consists of the lexical morpheme ek, meaning have, plus the person number suffix omega, meaning I. If the various suffixes of the present tense are now added to the root, we get the following forms. Okay, so look in the gray box there. In the gray box, and this is the inflected forms of the Greek form verb I have, all right, with the proper suffixes according to person and number. All right, so look at that. We have echo, meaning I have, ekes, that's how you pronounce that, meaning you have, eke, meaning he, she, or it has. And then the plural, you have ekamen, which means we have, ekata, which means you all have, and ekosi, meaning they have. All right? Eko, ekes, eke. Ekamen, ekata, ekosi. All right, those that's first person, second person, third person, singular, and then first person, second person, and third person, plural, for the Greek verb I have. All right, and this pattern of these endings, you see the endings there of omega in the first person singular, and then the ace and the second person singular and the a, these are verb suffixes that are common to present tense Koine Greek verbs, if that makes sense to you. Does that make sense to you all? So these suffix endings here are really important to learn. Alright? I think that's pretty straightforward. Does that seem straightforward to you? All right. Well, here again, you know, we're all doing this together as a team, but, you know, you're responsible for your own, you know, you guys are smart enough to understand this material. And then we noticed last time that a Koine Greek verb, and they're apparently more complex than English verbs. Okay, that's what the author told you. They have mood, they have voice, and they have tense. And we're going to be looking a little bit into, if you turn to page 14 there, you'll notice that Koine Greek verbs have seven tenses. All right, so, you know, it is what it is. This language is what it is. It's a language that the Holy Spirit chose. And if it's apparently complex, well, it is what it is. And so we either rise to the occasion or we shrink back. But as we go, I would hope and I pray that whatever we go over in each week or in each lesson, let's say you were with us tonight and then you quit. Well, you're going to know something about the Koine Greek whether you hang in there or not. And so I'm going to try to make every lesson something that you can take away something, whether you stay or whether you leave at any time. That's what I'm really going to attempt to do. And so therefore, we're going to be moving through this text a lot slower than if you were in college, let's just say. And that doesn't mean we're dumb. That just means that's how I'm going to do it. Whereas Dr. Black, you know, he didn't set that up, this up this way. All right? He's expecting probably a lot more out of his college students. And nevertheless, though, I would bet that most all of his college students didn't know the mystery at all. And so that's important. Right, we're doing it for free, and, you know, we got the rest of our lives, whatever that might be, to do it. And so there you have it. So we noticed, let's read a little bit after that. I believe that's, what is that called? That's called a paradigm. What's in that gray box there, that's called a paradigm, where the author takes a particular verb or noun, and he puts person number endings in a box form so they're easily learned. That's called a paradigm. Alright? So we have the paradigm, what you would call that gray box there on page 12. That's the paradigm. The person number inflections of the Greek verb form I have. That's how you would explain that. And let's go on under the gray box. These suffixes are also used in many other verbs when the same pattern of suffixes is used by several forms. The pattern is called a paradigm, meaning a pattern. All right. So to learn these endings of this paradigm, you'll be able to apply it to other Greek verbs that you run into in your Greek New Testament. All right. Does that make sense to you? Just, you know, somebody say yes or
yes.
I'm not sure or yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, good. I mean, so therefore, if you learn these endings, in the present tense of the form I have in the Greek, you'll find other verbs in your New Testament Greek, in your interlinear, that will have the same endings. And so you're gonna, you know, you're hey, I'm you know, we're moving on, we're moving ahead, you know. So that's what I really want us to do. I don't care if we're turtles, I don't care if we're rabbits or hyenas or what's a fast jaguars. You know, we're gonna move. We're gonna, if it's one baby step at a time, we're gonna move ahead each time. Okay, and mood. Okay, so verbs have number, they have person, they have mood, they have voice, and they have tense. All right? So, therefore, when you're talking about Koine Greek verb forms, in your mind, you should say, oh, well, they have a particular number, that is, they're either first or second or third person, and then they're either in the plural or the singular, and then they have mood, voice, and tense. That should be automatically in your brain when you're talking about a Koine Greek verb. Your mind should say, oh, really? A Koine Greek verb. What person is it in? What number is it in? What is its mood? What voice is it in? And what tense is it in? Seriously. If you forget all this, well, then you're going to, then you might as well hang it up, because this is what it is. And so, these building blocks you have to be a analyst of the Lord's Koine Greek. So, therefore, when you're talking about a Koine Greek verb form, brain, in your brain, whammo, should say, really, a Koine Greek verb form, what number is it? What person is it? What mood is it? What voice is it? And what tense is it? And so, you're going to have to understand what person, number, mood, voice, and tense is when you're talking about the Lord's verbs of His New Testament. That's the way it is. All right, so let's go on to mood. We already know about first and second and third person. We already know about singular and plural. So now we go on to mood. And we read this. Notice that each form echo given above makes an affirmation. In the Koine Greek, an affirmation is said to be in the indicative mood. Oh, okay. What does that mean? The term mood comes from the Latin modus, meaning measure or manner. Mood refers to the manner in which the speaker relates the verbal idea to reality. I'll say that again. The term mood, when discussing Koine Greek verbs, refers to the manner in which the writer or speaker relates the verbal idea to reality. So we have a verb form that the Holy Spirit is using. How does the Holy Spirit relate this to the reality of our world, or our minds, or our hearts? Alright? The indicative mood indicates that the speaker affirms the factuality of a statement. The factuality. I have mercy. Greek has other moods as well. So we have the indicative mood so far. Koine Greek has other moods as well. A verb can express as a command. All right? So, the first mood of a Koine Greek is indicative. It just affirms the reality of something. I have mercy. Ronnie, do you have mercy? Yes, I have mercy. If the Lord says, I have mercy, it's in the first person, singular, indicative mood. I have mercy, says the Lord. Okay, a verb also can have an imperative mood, a command. That reads, Lord, have mercy. All right, so somebody's in the imperative mood of the New Testament scriptures. Someone is asking, or in a sense, commanding the Lord, if you can do that, Lord, have mercy. If Mike was whining and saying, Lord, have mercy, Mike would be speaking to the Lord in the imperative mood. That makes sense. And then there is also a mood that expresses contingency called the subjunctive mood. Though he have mercy. Though he have mercy. It's not a command. It's not a factual reality. It's a contingency. That is to say, the Lord may do something, though he may have mercy. And it also can express a verbal idea without limiting it by specifying a person or number. And this is called the infinitive mood. To have mercy is better than to offer sacrifices. It seems that the subjunctive mood and the infinitive mood might be a little bit more difficult to understand than the indicative mood or the imperative mood. You know, my mind says that just right off the bat. Nevertheless, there's four moods concerning Koine Greek verb forms. So therefore, when you're talking about verbs, you have person, first, second, and third person, singular or plural. You have mood, either, okay, person, number, you have person, first, second, or third person. Oh man, maybe I'm getting confused here. Hold on a second. Yeah, you have singular or plural in the first, second, or third person. Person and number. You have that. And then you have four moods, which we went over. The indicative, the imperative, subjunctive, and the infinitive mood. These four moods, indicative, imperative, subjunctive, and infinitive, are the most frequently encountered in the New Testament. The optative mood, which is generally expressed as a polite request, may he have mercy, is not widely used. So, thank the Lord you only have to learn four. And I would imagine that the indicative and the imperative moods are probably used more, I'm guessing, than the subjunctive and the infinitive mood. But let's move on. Because the indicative mood affirms the factuality of an action, it is called the mood of reality. That, you know, it is also customary or unmarked mood, potential moods. Okay, wait a minute. It is also the customary or unmarked mood. The other moods are variations of the indicative and are called the potential mood. Well, you can kind of, maybe a little bit something that might be extraneous there, but just remember the definition of the four moods. I think that would be okay for now, just in the first paragraph about mood. the indicative moods, the imperative mood, subjunctive mood, infinitive mood. Go over there, go over those, and try to commit those to memory as far as what they mean. All right? Now, you know, this is, you know, getting intricate. It's like chess. You know, you have to learn the moves of the pieces before you can start playing. Okay, so we have person, we have number, we have mood, and we have next is voice in the Greek verb form system. And under voice, it says an addition to mood, Koine Greek verbs are also said to express voice. And see, when you're studying, you're going to run into this. You're going to run into the middle voice. You're going to run into the active voice. You know, you're going to run into the passive voice when you're studying Koine Greek verb forms. You just are. And so, rather than sit there and go, badee, 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 what does this mean, and just blow it off, you have the opportunity to say, hey, I understand what the middle voice means. It's just going to take some brain power and some energy on your behalf. Just like studying the Word of God. You don't look at a particular verb form or a particular word and look at it and, you know, like resurrection, or a different word and read it once and claim that you know it all. Well, the same with the Koine. You have to work with it. And so, under voice, we're going to read this. In addition to mood, Koine Greek verbs are said to express voice. And what does this mean? Whereas mood refers to the way in which the author or speaker chooses to affirm the unreality or the reality or unreality of an action, voice refers to the way in which the speaker or the author chooses to relate the subject of a verb to the action of that verb. And let's go on. Okay? So, you know, you could say, well, I'm confused already. That's okay. That's all right. You're gonna be going over this on your own. And so, the thing of it is, and like I said, we are going to, whether it's gigantic steps or baby steps or middle steps, you're moving forward, even if right now your guts are churning. Don't worry about it. Okay, so, a verb is said to be in the active voice when the subject is presented as performing the action. That's easy to understand. As in, I hear a man. All right? Akuo anthropon. Akuo anthropon. I hear a man. Here, akuo, meaning I hear, is an active verb, since the subject of the verb is doing the hearing rather than being heard. Again, a verb is said to be in the active voice when the subject is presented as performing an action. The action, that we can understand, as in, I hear a man. Akuo anthropon. Here, akuo, I hear, is an active verb since, or it's in the active voice, since the subject of the verb is doing the hearing. That's pretty plain. There are two other voices in the Koine Greek, the passive voice and the middle voice. In the passive voice, the subject is pictured as being acted upon. Wait a minute. Go back to the active voice. The active voice is when the subject is performing the action. The passive voice is when the subject is pictured as being acted upon. The subject is doing the action in the active. The subject is being acted upon in the passive. Doing the action, being acted upon. Active, passive. You can get that down. Active, passive. You all can get that down. That's pretty dang straightforward. As in, I am being heard. That's in the passive voice because the subject is being heard. In the middle voice, the subject is pictured as acting in its own interest. Again, in the middle voice, the subject is pictured as acting in its own interest. The subject is not doing the action. The subject is not being acted upon. The subject is pictured as acting in its own interest. I think we all can understand that. That's pretty nicely straightforward. Hey everybody, can you understand the Koine verb active voice? Oh yes I can. That's where the subject is doing the action. Hey, can everybody understand the Koine verb passive voice? Oh yeah, that's when the subject is being acted upon. Hey, can everybody understand the Koine verb middle voice? Oh yeah, that's when the subject is acting in its own behalf. That's pretty dang straightforward. So I think that you all can understand, no matter if you understand anything else. You can say, hey, I understand what the Koine active voice means as far as verbs are concerned. You can understand that. You can get that down. Get that down. Lock it in your memory. Talk it out loud. Speak it out loud. Read this paragraph out loud. If you're embarrassed, read it out loud by yourself. Read it in your barber chair when nobody's around. Read it in doing your hair. Read it out loud. Sometimes, you know, I've heard and I've read that speaking scriptures out loud to yourself is a good thing. And I believe it. I believe that speaking the Word of God out loud, even if you're by yourself, is a very good thing. I believe that. And I believe that learning the Koine and speaking it out loud to yourself, out loud to yourself, is a good thing. I think it reinforces your memory, and I think it reinforces your learning. In the middle voice there, down example B, as far as the middle voice or the subject is acting in its own interest, we have an example out of Mark 6. Do not put on two tunics. The subject is acting in its own interest. All right. Both by frequency and emphasis, the active is the normal or unmarked voice in the Greek. It highlights the action of the verb, whereas the middle and passive highlight the subject. Okay, so far, we've learned, what have we learned so far? You know, we've learned that in the Koine Greek verb form system, that it is inflected, and that it has person, it has number, it has mood, and it has voice. Anytime you're talking about Koine Greek verbs in your brain, you should have, oh, what's the number? What's the person? What's the mood? And what's the voice? Get that down, because you have to address it like that. You have to. When you're analyzing Koine Greek forms, if you don't analyze them in that way, you're going about it in a helter-skelter sort of fashion. you're going to be all over the map. So, with Koine Greek verb forms, what's the number? What's the person? What's the mood? What's the voice? And finally, what's the tense? So it's like, oh man, not only do we have enough to begin with, but now we're going to add 7 tenses to be understood. And I don't even know if I'm going to get to your interlinear tonight, but that's all right, because these tenses are extremely important. You know, if we spend the next couple of times hammering into our minds person, number, mood, voice, tense, Greek verb forms, these present tense endings, you know, I have, you have, he, she, or it has, we have, you all have, they all have. We keep on hammering that. That's going to be extremely important to you. The author expects us to be, have great minds. You know, whether or not you have a photographic mind probably will determine whether you get a C or an A, right? If we were in college. Let's say you had 7 subjects and Koine Greek was one of them, and then you had 6 more. Man, would you be in trouble. You know, but if you were a brainiac with a photographic mind, you know, you'd memorize this all. Nevertheless, we have the Holy Spirit, and we are not taking the Koine Greek so that we can get an A in college. We are studying the Koine because God, the Holy Spirit, wrote His eternal word of the New Testament in it. And that is a totally better and fabulous ball of wax than going to college and just learning the Greek language. Alright? So, you can look at it like, hey, the Lord will help me learn this language because it'll help me understand His scriptures better. And you pray about it. And then you don't worry about it and you don't sweat over it. On the other hand, you don't throw this textbook and your interlinear and your lexicon on the shelf for another month and then pull it out. I mean, you know, you're gonna get what you give, you know. So let's look at tense, and there's 7 of them. So, when talking about Koine Greek verbs, person, number, mood, voice, tense, you should have this in your brain when analyzing Koine Greek verbs. What is a person? What is the number? What is the mood? What is the voice? What is the tense? I mean, if you came out with those statements in front of somebody, they'd be blown away. They'd say, whoa, this Carolyn really knows her stuff. I better be careful how I talk about the Koine with her, right? Yeah? So here we go. Tense. We have 7 of them. All right, and I put together, I don't know if I want to call it a little ditty or something, but you look this over and you go, man, look at this. So let's read it. Tense. In addition to mood and voice, a Koine Greek verb is also said to have tense. All right, so this is a very exacting, a very exacting language. So no wonder why God chose it, right? The tenses in the Koine Greek are this: the present tense, the future tense, the imperfect tense, the aorist tense, the perfect tense, the pluperfect tense, and the future tense. Oh man, my head is about to come off. That's all right. That's okay. Just kind of push it back on there, and we'll keep on going. So we have 7 tenses to learn about. And I'm going to spend some time, I decided, in main lesson number 2. All right, because I'm gonna, and for Mikey's sake also, Mikey, that's me, I'm gonna hammer into Mikey's brain inflection, person, number, mood, voice, tense, until I can't stand it anymore. And so it just kind of regurgitates out of my brain. And so when I'm in the lexicon and I see what's called a grammatical tag, is a series of letters that will help you understand automatically what number and person and mood and voice and tense a Greek verb is in. And there's a work that is out there that you can get that every form in the New Testament has a grammatical tag underneath it. I hope that makes sense to you. But it's like, you know, before you get that book, you're going to have to understand what a grammatical tag consists of. And that's what we're going over. So, going back to tense, we have, turn to page 14. We have seven tenses. On the top of page 14, the present, the future, the perfect, the future perfect are sometimes called primary or principal tenses, while the imperfect, aorist, and pluperfect are sometimes called secondary or historical tenses. Well, I don't think we really need to know that, but, you know, that's just some extraneous material for you. In the indicative mood, what? In the indicative mood, what? In the indicative mood, the usual English equivalents of these tenses are as followed. What in the indicative mood? Oh, well, what does that mean? Well, we notice that the following tenses are going to be arranged according to the indicative mood. Oh, okay, so apparently there's two other or three other moods that these can be arranged in, and that's all you have to know for now. All right, but you'll notice the statement in the indicative mood. And what is the indicative mood? Go back, and it says the indicative mood indicates that the speaker infers the factuality, affirms the factuality of a statement. So the following are in the indicative mood. All right, a little complicated. You're going nuts. Don't worry about it. All right, you're learning. You're learning. All right, so the following tenses in the indicative mood are given. And you'll notice that they're given in the active voice. Oh, man. And the middle voice. And the passive voice. Pardon me. But we're just going to concentrate on the active voice for now. All right? And we're going to concentrate on how to memorize these tenses, you know, as if, you know, you're not exhausted already. That's okay. How do we memorize these tenses? Well, let's go over them. It's using the Koine, or the word love, to help you understand these tenses. Present tense, I love. No problem. Future tense, I will love. Well, that should be easy for you to understand. In the future, you will love, right? I love, I will love. The imperfect tense, oh boy, uh-oh, this is something I haven't confronted. I was loving. Oh man, I was loving. Well, all right, that makes me a little leery, but okay, we'll move on. The aorist tense, I love. The perfect tense, I have loved. the pluperfect tense, I had loved, and the future perfect tense, I will have loved. That's like putting the perfect tense, I have loved, and the future tense, I will love, together. I will have loved. That's the future perfect. Well, how do we remember these tenses? I put a little ditty together here. And you could say, well, that helps me, Mike, or it doesn't help me. But it helps me. And present tense, I love. You all can understand that, right? No problem. Present indicative mood. Present tense, indicative mood. I love. No problem. Indicative mood, future tense. I will love. I think that you can understand that. I love, I will love. The imperfect tense. Oh, man, I was loving. The aorist tense, which is sometimes called a timeless tense, I think. I loved. I just loved. Okay, so how do we remember these tenses? This is what I put together, and you might want to write this down. Get your pencils out. Do you have a pencil or pen? Do you have paper? You can even write in the book. Okay, I put this together, and this is how I am going to understand these tenses. Present tense, I love, no problem. Future tense, I will, I will, I will, I will, no problem. Okay, so we have the present and future tense down. We don't really have to mess with this, with that. Okay, but write this down. I was imperfect. I was imperfect. Underline was and imperfect. And had been pluperfect. You know, don't argue, just write that down. I was imperfect and had been pluperfect. Did you write that down? Did you all write that down? I was imperfect, underline was an imperfect, and had been pluperfect. Put two lines under had and pluperfect. I was imperfect and had been pluperfect, but now I have been made perfect. Write that down. But now I have been made perfect. And take three lines and put it under have and put it under perfect. Through the blood of Christ Jesus my Lord. I was imperfect. What does that teach me? That teaches me that the imperfect tense says was. And had been pluperfect. Well, pluperfect tense means had. But now I have been made perfect. The perfect tense is have. I was imperfect. Imperfect was. And had been pluperfect. Pluperfect had. But now I have been made perfect. Perfect, have. Imperfect, was. Pluperfect, had. Perfect, have. And then the future perfect is just taking the perfect. I have been made perfect. And putting it with the future. I will have. Does that make sense to you? Alright? Present tense, I have. No problem. Future tense, I will have or I will love. And then you remember the ditty. I was imperfect. So, imperfect is was. Imperfect is the was tense. And had been a pluperfect. So it's almost like thinking about this as being a sinner. That's how I thought about this. Well, certainly as a sinner, I was imperfect. And as a sinner, if I want to say that, I had been pluperfect as a sinner. I was and I had been. But now, I have been made perfect in Christ Jesus my Lord. And as a matter of fact, that's true. You know, so that's how I'm understanding. And to me, you know, if I remember that, I was imperfect. Well, was is the imperfect tense. And had been pluperfect. Oh, had pluperfect. But now I have been made perfect. Oh, what's a perfect tense? It's the have tense. Imperfect was. Pluperfect had. Perfect have. All right? So, I worked up that ditty. You might think, well, that's kind of goofy to me. Well, you know, you can... I applied it to myself as a sinner. And, you know, but you can make up your own. But see, initially, when I looked this over personally, my mind says, man, how am I going to remember all of that? With all I have to remember already. How am I going to remember all that? Well, you know, you have this little ditty that you can just rip off. You know, I was imperfect and had been pluperfect, but now I have been made perfect in the blood of Christ Jesus my Lord. And you have, the tenses down pretty good. You know, and then, therefore, you can understand the tenses when analyzing Koine Greek verb forms. Okay, so, going back, we know that verbs are inflected. We know that they have person and they have number, singular and plural, first person, second person, third person. We notice that in the indicative mood that it has particular suffix endings, as seen in the paradigm on page 12. Present tense, indicative mood. We notice that we have to learn four moods. And we notice that we have to learn three voices. And we notice that we have to learn seven tenses. You know, but we're going to be hammering these. That's what I'm going to do. The finest athletes in the world practice their brains out. The finest marksmen in the world practice their brains out. The best singers in the world practice their brains out. And that's a fact. Very rarely will you come up against somebody that learns something, sees it for the first time, and knows it. That's almost like you'd have to be God himself, you know. So, in practicing, we're not doing anything differently than an expert in other things in this world are doing. So, we're going to spend some time in major lesson number two. And what I want you to do, if you would, is turn to page 247 in the text. 247 in the text. And you'll notice it says Koine Greek vocabulary. And from what I understand, learning this language from the people that know it well, you and I cannot know too much vocabulary. Vocabulary in this language is big. What? Vocabulary in the Koine Greek is big. Big. And what's excellent about what we're doing is we don't have to learn the Greek of the world. We are concentrating on the Koine Greek of God himself. And so, therefore, the vocabulary that we have is centered, and it's not worldly. So, that is great because we have to learn the vocabulary of the Lord's Scriptures rather than mundane things of the worldly system. And so, we are going to learn all of this vocabulary in this list. From page 247 to page 253 as we go. Also, if the vocabulary found in the major lessons are not back here, we're going to learn those also. Like, if you turn back to page number 8 in your text, you'll notice that there's about 20 vocabulary forms there. Well, you should know those. Know those, and then, and remember, the last two times we went over those Greek forms in the lexicon. Do you remember that? Well, your assignment for next time is the forms agathos to aero. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 forms. Aero is I take up, or I take away. I want you to write down all those forms and look them up in your lexicon. From agathos, to aero. There's 14 of them. And also, I want you to go over what we learned in major lesson number 2, pages 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Hammer it. Go over it, go over it, go over it. Next time, we're going to spend some more time in major lesson number 2. Also, we are going to go into your interlinear. And we're going to, if you turn back to page 12, turn back to page 12, you have the paradigm there of the Greek verb form I have in the present tense indicative mood. I have, you have, he has, we have, you all have, they have. I'm going to go through the book of Romans, the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of Ephesians, and the book of Colossians, and we're going to find a few of these inflected forms in those books in your interlinear so you can see them right in front of your face in the text of the New Testament. That's what we're going to do next time, and then we're going to maybe go on from there. I'll have to come up with, as we go, we're going to be working with mood and voice and tenses. So, I think that you're going to have, you know, enough to do and, you know, enough to go over, enough to remember, enough to, you know, soak your mind with. But remember, you know, this is, you know, in fact, this is studying the Word of God. You know, this isn't reading the Iliad or the Odyssey or some other worldly work. This is understanding the written word of the Most High God. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would give you that particular energy in knowing that that's what you're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? In knowing that you're dealing with the Word of God and you're not dealing with some work of some guy named Homer or something like that. And so, That's what I believe will make your brain and heart catch on fire to these things. And so I'm glad you all made it tonight. I'm glad that I'm sitting here talking about this. I feel a privileged to be able to do this. And so we're just going to have to figure out another time. And you guys have you know, something to do. And then, you know, I suppose that since it would be beautiful if we're all on the same page, so to speak, I recommended that we all have the same Interlinear by J.P. Green Sr. And so if you can't get one because of various reasons, that's okay. You know, but if you can, I would do that. And so then next time, we can all be, bam, bam, we can all be on the same page, so to speak. Okay, so thanks very much, and it's a pleasure to be with you loving people of the Lord. Amen.